Είστε παρέα με το SBS Ελληνικά.
Ripe grain rise golden sun on my body golden my hair resplendent the bounty I shed sweet bloom.
Let's start this conversation with your latest work, Persephone.
Okay. Yep.
How did Persephone come about?
Well, it's been a long process. I've been working on this. I began this project more than 12 years ago. And, you know, it's such a complex myth that I kind of needed to honour the process with it. And began work on it. And then I was with another musician and things just kind of were stalling a little. And I thought, you know, what I need to do to really get this project off the ground is go to Greece. And so then I began going to Greece about 5 or 6 years ago and going to all the sacred sites associated with the myth. And,
like what? Like which
like
ones?
Eleusina.
Of course, Eleusina. Eleusina Mysteria.
And then in November I went to the Necromantion. It's near Paga over that side, which is an underworld entrance.
Yes.
And there's a temple.
The river Acheron, Acherodas.
And so I was there in November. And the temple of Demeter, Dimitra, on Naxos. And then also even where the Thesmophoria in Athens was held, I went there, which was sacred to Demeter as well. And everywhere I'd go, I'd, you know, ask these old gods for guidance and how do I bring this about? And really, I think I was kind of led. And so, yeah, a lot of work. Back and forwards from, because I live in America now, back and forwards between America, Australia and Athens and other places in Greece, recording, meeting the right people like Kali Galati, who you spoke to. And and slowly it came together. And so now it's ready to be launched.
You said before that this is a complex myth, and you also, and it took you to Greece because you needed to see and hear and feel firsthand certain sites, as you put them, sacred sites. What sparked your interest for this particular myth? Because from what you're saying, I'm actually understanding that it was a spiritual journey as well as music.
It was definitely a spiritual journey, and it continues to be, and it continues to deepen, you know. I've loved Greek mythology since I was a kid. And
Many people say that. Why? What's the appeal?
It's great stories. They're great dynamic stories, you know. The ancient Greek gods have a very human aspect. And so I think, say with a myth like this, the, you know, Persephone's descent, you can really identify with her and with her mother, Demeter, Dimitra, with her genuine grief at losing her daughter. And it has a very personal, very close feeling. And I think, yeah, they're very exciting myths too, very dramatic and very visual. You can really feel like you're part of it, you know. I get so excited, like when I went to Eleusina for the first time and there's a little sign that says, oh, this is where Demeter sat down while she was looking for her daughter. I'm like, wow, this is alive. These are living stories. And so, yeah, I mean, who knows really why things capture our heart, but definitely the Greek stories captured my heart since I was a kid. And then as a teenager, I guess I identified a little with Persephone for my own reasons. I found myself down in the underworld and, you know, a bit of depression and things like that. And this myth was a really, really helpful healing tool for me. And so...
In what way?
Well, I think that something about the cyclic nature of it, that she goes into the underworld, but rather than becoming a victim and that everything's just terrible, it's not hell that she finds herself in. She finds herself in the palace of the god Hades. And
she became a queen.
She became a queen, exactly, and she finds her power. So for me, that lesson of, yeah, we all go through hard times. We go through our grief, or we might go through our sadness or loss or depression. But this myth teaches us that if we hold space for that, we can find something very empowering there. And I wanted to bring this, I guess I wanted to share my very personal journey with this myth, you know, as a piece of music, as a healing tool, I guess, for others, because I think it's got all these thousands of years on from when people were, you know, walking all the way from Athens to Elefsina to celebrate this every year. It continues to be able to teach us and teach us about the trust in the cycles of nature, that sure, these things happen and then spring comes afterwards and the whole cycle begins again. And I think also, especially as I've got older and raised my own kid and, you know, he's an adult now, I can identify a bit more with Demeter, and I feel I can really, her sense of loss at losing her child, you know, it's the worst thing that can happen to a parent. And I really felt that sense of immediacy of her fear at losing her daughter. And, you know, so she teaches us a lot too, because she has to come into acceptance of her daughter growing up.
You used an expression, hold space. What does this mean?
Well, I think especially in, you know, the mainstream culture, that there's a lot of fear of the darkness. It's like, oh, you know, anything that's sad or grief or anything like that, keep it happy and keep it upbeat. And but I think this process of going underground is like, Persephone is like the seed. She eats the pomegranate seed and she goes underground, and there's a certain amount of time that she needs to be there. So that holding space is just allowing for that time for things to incubate, for just like night or winter or the dark moon, for things to hold space for stillness, for introspection, maybe for a bit of sadness, rather than try to rush through it and make it go away. Just say, okay, there's times for darkness and there's times for light, and that's okay. That's how nature is. And, you know, it's a myth about nature. It's an agricultural myth, really. Yeah.
But there is also a lot of hope. I can see through what you're saying that you saw a lot of hope through that, rising through the darkness,
exactly.
Riding through the dark night, you know, accepting whatever it is, but also keep going, not stopping and not allowing yourself to be overwhelmed by that.
Exactly. And that's what Persephone teaches us. She doesn't crumble under all that horror of being abducted and all that. She finds her strength, and she like you said, she becomes a queen. And and she keeps going. She honors the fact that, just like her mother has to deal with her not being there for half the year, she has to honor that she has to resurface and bring back life to the surface of Earth. So there's a lot of movement, and that's why, you know, a couple of times on the album, I in the role of the goddess Hecate, who's wise, I chant in Greek, Otrochos tha girisi.
Otrochos tha girisi.
Yeah. The wheel will turn, as like, nothing can stay the same in nature. It's always changing. So, Otrochos tha girisi. The wheel will turn, the wheel will turn. Or about balance, Sti zoi iparchi thanatos. So thanato iparchi zoi, just this balance of life and death, above and below, darkness and light, that it's all valid and it's all sacred.
You answered my next question, which was, if that myth holds a special meaning for you, and you explained that beautifully, that it does hold a special meaning for you. Now, how do you turn all these into music? We have to bring your artistic side to it as well.
Wow, that's a really interesting question.
I'll help you a bit. I've noticed that you have actually captured the spirit of the myth really, really well.
Mm-hmm.
And you have broken down the elements while at the same time you kept and you have honored the interconnectedness of these elements. How did you go about to achieve that? It's not a small thing. And it's not easy either. You can break down and then you can pluck one thing here and one thing there. But to be able to distinguish and differentiate while keeping everything connected is an extremely difficult task.
Well, thank you for noticing that it was very difficult. And I think, especially it's such a big project, you know, 24 tracks long, part of it was that I really went into each of the goddesses. I really allowed myself to feel, you know, so I went through this journey. I allowed myself to feel the genuine emotion and take myself there through meditation and through being in those sacred places. And rather than, so always I had the overview of the entire story, but then I'd pinpoint and really go into the emotion of what would it feel like, for your daughter suddenly not to be there, or what would it feel like to be lost in the underworld? And I do a lot of writing. I like to hike a lot in nature. I love nature, and so a lot of this, I would go out on a hike, and just by walking and being present with the imagery too of imagining this, suddenly a melody might come through, and then it's a matter of the editing and the going back and, you know, with the guitar, but mostly those songs would come through quite organically as long as I was connected with the emotions of each of the goddesses that I was kind of embodying, I guess. And Hecate's parts originally were much more wordy, and throughout the editing process over those 12 years, I simplified them to be very simple chants. Well, especially once I decided to do them in Greek, they necessarily needed to be quite simple. But very simple chants that really embodied the energy. For me, Hecate is like the wise one who's been the maiden, who's been the mother, and she's the crone, the wise old one now, and embodies the wisdom of nature. And so I'm always a little surprised myself of how these songs come out. It's some kind of weird magic process that a tune will come into my head and it will become very clear that, or a set of lyrics. And, but yeah, a lot of back and forwards and a lot of just being present with the, and reading and rereading many, many different versions of the myth too.
You're learning Greek?
Ne.
How are you going with that?
I'm going okay. Just when I think, like, hang on, I've got a hold on this. This is great. Then a new, some new grammatical, you know, I'll think, oh, this is great. And then it's like, now I start learning past tense or future. And it's like, oh my goodness, here we go. But I love it. And I don't have any shyness about, I always say it's about inflicting my poor Greek on people in Greece. I go over there and I love it. And I get so
you speak Greek in Greece?
Yes, I definitely do. And
so even you get many different reactions. Most of them positive, I can imagine.
All of them positive, I'd say. And I think people are just surprised that I'd go to the trouble of learning something when I don't have Greek heritage. Maybe some past life or something, but, you know, not that I'm aware of. And yet, first time I went to Greece and I heard that language, I heard Greek spoken. Of course, growing up in Melbourne, I wish I had have taken more notice. There's so many Greek speakers here. But it just talked to me. I loved it. I just loved it. And the first time I went to Greece, I'd already learnt the Greek alphabet, and so I could sound things out because it's so beautifully phonetic. And so I began really learning right from that moment. And people are so positive, so patient, so helpful. And
Μπορείς όμως να μιλήσεις ελληνικά με κάποιον.
What's that one mean? What does that mean?
Can you converse in Greek?
Oh, λίγο. Ναι. I'm better at... I can a little, you know, and I can kind of get the gist. Even when you were introducing, I could kind of hear, oh, I see what's going on here. I see what you're saying. But of course, you know, I get a little nervous too. And but I'm actually going to do a two-week language course in Ikaria this year on the island of Ikaria. They run a language school there, so I'm going to go there. It's a live-in thing, 2 weeks of immersion, and so that will be a really nice way to deepen because, you know, I'm only in Greece for 2 weeks or a month each year, and, you know, I practice, and then I come back. And
do you go to Greece to improve your Greek, or you're going for other reasons as well? Do you perform?
I hope to.
You performed?
I did a little concert in the island of Amorgos once, which was lovely. This year I'm going to be doing, there's a woman we've met who's going to help me set up shows in Corfu and Yanina. So that's good. But slowly, I would love to, and I would love to share Persephone. It's just a matter of making the right connections. And, of course, we have the Greek singer, Kali Galati, on the album, so she's helping. I'd love to do that. So I go to Greece because, for me, that's how I'm feeding my soul at the moment. That's exciting me as an artist. I love it. I love the people, the food, the language, of course, the ancient sites. For me, it's just... It's wonderful. I've fallen in love with the place.
But you live in the States.
I live in the States.
Whereabouts?
I live in Santa Fe, New Mexico, with my husband Tim, and that's lovely too. And
tell us a few things about yourself, because you were originally from Melbourne. You're an Australian.
Yeah.
But you've been living in Santa Fe in the States for how long now?
Only for a couple of years there, and then before then, but before then we were in Oregon for a couple of years. Tim's American, but I began touring the States in 2001, and I would always go through New Mexico each time. It's very beautiful, and Tim, I now, you know, found out after we'd met that he's from New Mexico, so that's wonderful. And so now I kind of, that's my base for the, I guess, America for the last 4 years, but I come back to Australia twice a year and then go to Europe once a year. And, you know, that's the life of a touring musician. I love it.
So it sounds like you have the best of all worlds.
I think I do.
Another question I want to ask you is about the song Cory, which is it a play with pronunciation, maybe? You know, Cory, the English name, but also Cory being the Greek word for daughter.
Yeah, well, there's two songs that feature the Cory chant. There's Flowers, which is track 4 on the album, and that's when, before Persephone becomes Persephone, she's simply known as Cory or Kore, like daughter or maiden, and so she doesn't even have a name at that point. She's the daughter of Demeter picking flowers in the field. And so when she goes missing at the end of that song, when she's abducted, the chorus, because I have a 5-part chorus on the album, are chanting, you know, Cory, Cory, looking for her. And then at the beginning of the next song, they're saying, where's Cory? Where can she be? So the pronunciation, initially, I'd grown up hearing that phase of the goddess as being Kore, and if I go to any gatherings of mythological things, like in America, they'll still refer to that phase before she becomes the queen of the underworld as Kore. But I initially recorded that song like that, and then Callie, who's Greek, she listened in and said, well, really it should be Kori, because that's how we say, you know, daughter. And so and so it's multi-layered then, that she's the maiden, she's the daughter, and then, as you were telling me earlier, it also relates to, it's a word, a term of endearment, which I didn't know. I really wanted to emphasize the fact that she goes through a really dramatic shift. She goes through from being simply the role of daughter into Persephone, queen of the underworld. So, yeah, pronunciation-wise, I really have to thank my friend Callie, who's on this album, because she's like, you know, you could say Kore and that would be fine, or you could say Kori and have all of Greece on side. So I went with Kori.
I think that was the right decision. Good.
So this song is called The Ascent, and it's the track 24, the final track of the album. And this time I'm in the voice of Persephone, and it's the point where she has become queen of the underworld, and now she's called back up to surface to begin the process of spring again. So she's a little reluctant about returning because she has to leave her home and her husband and her throne. So this song's called The Ascent.
And so this winter that others see as sorrow will soon be over, and I will mourn the shadow and lose the darkness that held me soft within his arms, and leave my lover. Under the surface, I am as radiant as light. There is a beauty that's hidden deep within the night, and I have found it, but I am called away and don't want to leave it, and don't want to leave it. Once I was maiden, and I will maiden be again. And though the springtime will see me dancing with the flowers, when I'm dancing, no other care will weigh my heart. I am resisting. Oh, blessed darkness, oh, blessed sanctuary of bone, where I have hidden, where I have come to be alone. Oh, blessed darkness, I am at one with you. Now I must leave you. Six for the darkness and six for the light. Six for the darkness and six for the light. Six for the darkness and six for the light.
Πείτε μας τη γνώμη σας. Κάντε like στην σελίδα μας στο Facebook ή ακολουθήστε μας στο Twitter στο SBS Greek.